It's time for Your Pet's Health, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital in Moorhead City. Pet Docs, your other family doctor.
And, of course, if you'd like to call in with a question about your pet's health, you can do that now.
Call me at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
I want to talk a little bit about actually a fairly common condition in dogs and cats called cognitive dysfunction.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, and this is actually very similar to senility, dementia, Alzheimer's that we'll see in humans, of course. And essentially what it involves is an aging brain and some of the changes that can occur. The term cognitive basically refers to all the different processes that allow us and of course our pets to take in information about our environment and to make decisions and how to act based on that information. And so dysfunction of that essentially is altering of those abilities to the point that it affects their ability to function in what we would call a normal manner. And so in a second, we'll talk about some of the symptoms of this, and you'll see how one of the reasons it's an often very underdiagnosed condition is because these are often symptoms that people just associate with aging.
How
common is this? It's actually really common as dogs and cats get older. So depending on what studies you look at, surveys and so forth, and a lot of this, of course, is done by questionnaire as well as physical exam findings, but anywhere from 30 up to 60-70% as you go from, say, 11 years of age up to 15, 16, 17, 18 years of age, these symptoms become much, much more common. And so it's often underdiagnosed. And you'll see here in a second, let's talk about some of these symptoms and why it might be underdiagnosed. So some of the behavioral things that we'll see, disorientation, people will often describe it. And that can be anything from seeming to be confused, not recognizing familiar objects, maybe familiar people.
Right.
And you can see how that would easily be confused with a vision problem, for example.
Yeah, I thought so, actually. When one of my dogs was getting older, I thought maybe it was just she couldn't recognize
you. Couldn't
anymore.
See as well. Also not responding to verbal cues. There again, possibly not hearing as well. Very common problem in older dogs and cats that they don't hear as well as they used to, just like with people. So not interacting with people. Possibly aggression issues. They might start biting or nipping or growling or snapping. A lot of times people, and I hear this often, that will tell me, oh, he's just getting ornery in his age. Well, that's not ornery isn't really a condition. There's probably a reason why they're being ornery. House training can sometimes, those types of issues, they'll maybe start having accidents in the house. Maybe they go out for a walk and they come right back in and go, or sometimes even something as simple as going on unusual surfaces. So they might start going in the driveway, for example, instead of in the yard, that sort of thing. Now, all of these don't obviously mean that if your dog or cat is doing these things that they have this condition.
Sure.
These are just some of the symptoms that we will commonly find. And as a sort of a conglomerate of different symptoms and things that we would ask, things that we would look at, they may end up, you know, leading us towards this diagnosis. And one of the really important things is doing a physical exam.
Right.
So oftentimes I can tell whether or not a dog or cat can see as well as they used to. It's very difficult to determine or assess their hearing in an exam room because, I mean, there are ways that it could be done, but not, you know, usually that's university sort of type stuff where they can.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I would think that hearing actually would be easier to assess than vision.
Well, it's not. And because some dogs don't respond, especially in an exam room, for example, they come into an office. They may be, you know, it's a stressful place potentially, especially if it's a new visit, for example.
Right, right.
One of the things I will recommend people do, because a lot of times people say, oh, well, he won't respond to me when I call him, or he doesn't hear the doorbell, or these things. Well, these are also very common sounds that a dog has heard for years and years and years. What I'll recommend people do is pull out your smartphone and start going through your ringtones. Mm-hmm. You know, because those are often, especially ones you don't use, mm-hmm. those are often noises and sounds that the dog may be not familiar with. And so you may find that they don't respond to the doorbell, but they'll respond to one of your, you know, funky ring tones.
Yeah,
they'll perk
that's
up
true.
Their ears and say, where is that sound coming from?
That's a new one.
So that's something. Activity level. Also, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes they'll get restless at night. They'll pace. Their sleep and wake patterns get kind of messed up. And there again, a lot of times people, you know, pacing or being restless may be a symptom of pain. Maybe a dog or cat has arthritis or, you know, something like that.
You're making me wonder if maybe all mammals kind of go through this because it seems like everything you're saying is certainly applies to people.
And, you know, I'm sure people are looking into this. You know, we talk about dogs and cats. Does this happen in rats? Yes, probably. Mm-hmm. You know, our limitations are based on how we can gather that information.
Sure.
You know, in people, they can do a lot of tests and, you know, ask questions and things like that, which we obviously can't do of the dog.
One thing about a domesticated animal, though, right. is that they are, because of nutrition mm-hmm. and other things, they're probably living longer than their wild counterparts, certainly. And people are living longer, too. We're kind of all noticing these things now
right.
that we didn't
right.
may not notice a few generations ago.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, and particularly, you know, with certain breeds, for example, you take a Great Dane or a Mastiff or a Wolfhound that's only going to live to 7 or 8 on average, mm-hmm. you may not be seeing these things in those types of dogs, whereas a poodle or, you know, a lap dog or a cat, mm-hmm. you know, is going to live into their mid, maybe even
teens.
Upper teens.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see some of these things that develop as they age. And, you know, some of the pathophysiology, it's called, mm-hmm. of how this happens is very similar to what we see in people. It has to do, not to get very deep at all, but basically you have free radicals, mm-hmm. Oxidative injury, it's called. So antioxidants mm-hmm. play a role in this. You also have what is called beta amyloid plaques that mm-hmm. develop. You hear that a lot talked about with Alzheimer's. In fact, dogs are serve as a sort of a model of study mm-hmm. for Alzheimer's because a lot of the processes that are happening in the brain are very similar between the species. Mm. So the why it happens, we sort of understand. The real challenge for us has been how do we treat it?
Yeah.
First of all, how do we diagnose it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, simple things like a physical exam, neurologic exam, orthopedic exam, and then, mm-hmm. yes, a lot of times we will throw in there, you know, some blood tests, because there are also a lot of medical problems mm-hmm. that can mimic some of these symptoms.
Certainly,
for slow getting around, cataracts, they can't see, mm-hmm. you know, diabetes, you know, things like that that can lead to behavioral changes. Ear infections, yeah. So there are a lot of things that can mimic it. So it's not one of those things where people can sit on the computer and say, oh, my dog does A, B, and C, and so that it must have this condition.
Okay, we'll have more to come in a moment here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240, with Dr. Todd Worrell from Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital, online at PETDOCKS.com. And you can call them for an appointment at 240-3885, and we'd love to hear from you as well. Coming up in our next segment here with Your Pet's Health with Dr. Todd Worrell, brought to you by Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital. Hey, welcome back here. Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. We're talking about cognitive functions in pets.
Well, and so the next thing is, of course, treatment. Now, this will be a very brief overview of treatment. How do we address these things? Well, first of all, environmental enrichment. Simple things like exercise, regular walking. Mm-hmm. You know, if your dog likes to play, doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to mean certain training sessions and where you're teaching them old dogs new tricks and so forth, but just, you know, keeping them alert, keeping them active. There's a lot of research into things like antioxidants,
mm-hmm.
other compounds, which have very long names actually can play a very beneficial role. You'll see these, a lot of these are being incorporated into foods now.
Right.
So you'll see things like, one of the companies is called Focus, you mm-hmm. know, and they actually have a commercial about brain metabolism and energy usage and things like that. There are also a number of supplements that have actually shown after use for say 4 to 8 weeks can actually show that dogs and cats can show significant improvement in their, functioning, mm-hmm. ability, so to speak. There are also medications that can be used. There are a couple of them that are around. One of them has been around for so 20 years or so. It's basically, it used to be used in Parkinson's disease in people, but it can be actually very helpful again after a month or so. Another one that's used even currently for Alzheimer's patients can be used in dogs that will have what we consider repetitive or compulsive behaviors. The brand name is Namenda. You may have seen commercially, goes under other names too. So those are some things, even complementary therapies, things like because a lot of these dogs will become anxious as well.
Right.
So things like thunder shirts, which we've talked about, compression wraps, aromatherapy, you know, things like that, that just are kind of, they don't have any side effects. They don't cost very much. Mm-hmm. And they sometimes are not effective either, but they can be helpful, particularly with the stress and the anxiety that can often accompany this for the pet.
Because you think about it, a person gets confused.
Exactly.
And that leads to anxiety, stress, and sometimes acting out.
Exactly. And so a lot of these behaviors, the symptoms, you might say, can be improved upon by doing some of these things. The important thing is to really, you know, if you think your pet is having these symptoms as an older pet especially, this is not going to happen with a four-year-old dog, okay? Mm-hmm. So you can kind of rule that out. There's another issue going on if he's showing these types of symptoms. But talk to your veterinarian, schedule an appointment, get an examination, maybe some tests.
Don't just pull things off the counter.
Definitely don't just pull things off the counter. There are some things that can help, but there are a lot of things that don't help.
Right.
And so you don't want to waste your money or time.
Okay. All right. Check in with your veterinarian, but you can also call him Pet Docs Veterinary Hospital. Give them a call and make an appointment at 240-3885 and look for him all over social media as well. 240-3885. We'll see you next week.
See you then.